In cooperation with the United States government, the Owens, Illinois Glass Company, developers of Duraglass containers, present another program with America's favorite home front news hawk and afternoon dropper-inner, Don Pryor, with the gifted young American soprano, Eileen Farrell, your favorite tenor, Phil Regan, and David Brookman and his orchestra. And as a special feature, the wife of the famous general, Mrs. Jimmy Doolittle. Wartime Health Week officially closes Monday, October 11th. Really, it's only the beginning. This nationwide drive to keep Americans fit is an everyday job. Ask your favorite pharmacist today to give you a free folder listing the 12 simple health rules for you and your family. Read them and live by them. And remember, whether you're getting a prescription filled or buying vitamin capsules or medicine, the sparkling, clean, strong Duraglass bottle with its tight, moisture-proof top is yours for health's sake. Today, the musical portion of our program opens with our popular young tenor, Phil Regan, singing a favorite Irish melody, Just a Little Bit of Heaven.
Have you ever heard the story of how Ireland got its name? Well, I'll tell you so you'll understand from whence old Ireland came. It's no wonder that we're proud of that dear land across the sea. For here's the way me dear old mother told the tale to me. Sure, a little bit of from out the sky one day, and it nestled on the ocean in a spot so far away. And when the angels found it, sure it looked so sweet and fair. They said, suppose we leave it, for it looks so peaceful there. Then they sprinkled it with stardust just to make the shamrocks grow. 'Tis the only place you'll find them, no matter where you go. Then they dotted it with silver just to make its lake so grand. And when they had it finished, sure they called it Ireland.
And now here's your home front reporter, Don Pryor, for the last minute news.
Thank you, Hugh Conover, and good afternoon. Now for a quick bird's eye view of the war. The Red Army surprised everybody yesterday with a sudden new offensive. They cracked the Nazis' Dnieper line in several places, forcing bridgeheads both north and south of Kiev and down in the Great Dnieper Bend, only 220 miles from the Romanian border. Since then, they have crushed several bitter counterattacks and pushed on to widen these bridgeheads even more. In Italy, the Fifth Army has captured Castle Volturno and Capua and established a solid front 16 miles long on the southern bank of the Volturno River. In eastern Italy, the 8th Army has beaten down several strong counterattacks and strengthened its positions near Termoli. The scramble is still underway for possession of the islands controlling entrance to the Aegean Sea and to Greece. Last night, RAF bombers attacked Stuttgart, Munich, and Friedrichshafen in southern Germany, and the Luftwaffe retaliated with the heaviest raid on London since 1941. Out in the Pacific, the Japanese have abandoned their principal air base at Vila and are evacuating Kolombangara Island. The Australians have advanced further against Madang on New Guinea. In spite of a War Department order dismissing all personnel, one aircraft warning post near Lancaster, Pennsylvania is still being manned. Peanuts, a little white dog who has kept Plane Spotter's company there ever since the post was organized, refuses to leave. War Department or no War Department. Incidentally, be sure to hang on to those number 3 ration books. The Office of Price Administration says you'll have to have them when you apply for ration book 4, which will be distributed through the schoolhouses and other public buildings during the last 10 days of this month. That book will be used to buy processed foods and sugar after October 31st. So when you go down to apply for book number 4, be sure to take along all the number 3 books in your family. The exact time and place will be announced by your local war price and rationing board. Out in Los Angeles, 5-year-old Billy Worrell is a casualty of war. He was right in the midst of a terrific battle with the Japs yesterday, firing from a second-story balcony when he fell. His injuries included cuts, bruises, and a possible skull fracture. Life gets a little confusing now and then. Up in Hartford, Connecticut the other day, a mother hired a maid to take care of her youngster while she went out to do her patriotic duty and volunteered for work in a children's center. Pretty soon, she was put to work caring for a so-called problem child. It turned out to be her maid's little boy. If you're one of the many women who are worried these days about just how you're going to iron those things you hang over the shower curtain rod at night, take heart. A new iron is about to come on the market made of porcelain and plastic. So far, the number is limited, but they'll be getting around pretty soon. Beginning today, gas stations will be permitted to operate just as long as their owners please. Petroleum Administrator Ickes has revoked his 1941 order limiting gasoline sales to the period from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. But he's asked gas station operators to get together and establish local limitations of their own. Yesterday in Philadelphia, a mounted policeman sat quietly on his horse near the curb on downtown Sansom Street. Suddenly, both horse and rider disappeared, and startled pedestrians saw nothing there but a big hole in the pavement. Patrolman Clark Hill and his horse Pal had just dropped into a cellar. They were pulled out 2 hours later with the help of a 30-ton crane, 2 fire trucks, and an ambulance. A little later in this program, you will hear from Mrs. Jimmy Doolittle, who has an important message for all of you.
Our young star, Eileen Farrell, sings Grieg's beautiful love song, I Love Thee.
I love thee more than my
With us today in our studio is the famous wife of General Jimmy Doolittle. She has a message of interest to every woman listening. Mrs. Doolittle.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is most important to women today to bend every effort to keep the home front strong and efficient in its support of our fighting forces. Whether it's in producing the materials of war, in our support of rationing, or in our battle to keep down prices. We mustn't get the fatal idea that victory is just around the corner. Nothing could be farther from the truth. We have been advised on high authority that there is nothing to justify the hope of unconditional surrender by the Axis powers in the near future, and that the major battles lie ahead of us, not behind us. If prices soar, the war will certainly last longer, and we'll all go broke in the end. Recently, War Mobilization Director James F. Burns had much to say regarding the fight to hold down prices. He pointed out that the line has been held recently. Government action reduced ceiling prices on meat and butter by 10%, on fresh fish by 20%, and on cabbage and lettuce by 50 and 25% respectively. But he also pointed out that the fight against the threat of rising prices is by no means over, that we must continue to work with all our might to hold the prices down. Experts in the government tell us that the threat of rising prices continues to hang on for one principal reason: the fact that, as a nation, we will have $45 billion more dollars this year than there are goods and services to buy. We have this huge excess purchasing power because, on one hand, more of us are working than ever before, and therefore are making more money. And because, on the other hand, our tremendous needs for war materials have reduced the supply of available civilian goods. Now, it isn't hard to see that if we use these $45 billion of excess purchasing power to raise the ante on scarce civilian goods, we'll force the prices up. It's very hard to maintain ceiling prices, enforce rationing, and to stamp out black markets when people rush to buy all sorts of goods. And don't forget that one price rise breeds another, that rising prices bring a demand for increased wages until prices and wages line up neck to neck in a free-for-all race straight to financial ruin. I hardly need to tell you that no one will win in such a wild scramble of prices and wages. Certainly the 20 million Americans on fixed incomes, teachers, government employees, widows living on annuity payments from life insurance companies, the families of our men in the armed services, and many others lose from the very beginning. But even those whose wages are raised gain only temporary advantage. Eventually, prices go so high that they can do but one thing: fall. And when they tumble, they bring with them wage cuts, unemployment, and business failures. I'm sure none of us ever wants to see such a catastrophe happen again in our country. But that needn't happen here. If instead of allowing our excess purchasing power to bid up prices, we put it to work fighting the war, we can speed victory and ensure a sound, prosperous America in peace to come. Our government can't do this alone. We all have to help. How? In plenty of ways. Let me give you a brief sum up of those precious 7 points of wisdom that Uncle Sam asks us to live by and to be loyal to stop this great evil. First, buy only what you really need and make the goods you have last longer through proper care. Another way we can help is buying and holding all the war bonds we possibly can afford. Budget your war bond purchases as part of your regular household expenses. Save regularly. Buy insurance and salt your savings away. Pay your debts. Pay your share of the taxes, even the increased taxes, willingly. Refuse to pay more than ceiling prices. Accept ration goods only when you give up the stamps. Don't ask your boss for a raise. If we'll all observe those 7 rules, inflation can't happen here.
Thank you, Mrs. Doolittle.
Our popular tenor, Phil Regan, sings one of the top tunes of the day, You'll Never Know.
You'll never know just how much I love you. You'll never know just how much I care. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, for haven't I told you so? million or more times you went away, and my heart went with you. I speak your name in my every prayer. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't know now. You went away and my heart went with you. I speak your name in my every prayer. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know.
And here's your late home front news. Beginning tonight, the West Coast will be allowed to turn on its lights again, or at least most of them. General DeLoss C. Emmons, commanding general of the Western Defense Command, issued a proclamation just a half hour ago, relaxing dim-out restrictions which have been in effect for a year. The egg and milk shortage may be eased a little before very long. The War Food Administration says it's going to release part of the stores it has on hand for civilian consumption. And there's also a hint that some government-held butter may be released to avert spoilage. The agency has already asked for bids on a big batch of dried egg powder, but that's used mostly for baking, and it's not likely to have very much effect on your ability to buy eggs at the corner grocery, so don't expect too much. The government's plan to roll back retail prices on 13 winter vegetables is expected to be announced sometime next week. It was originally intended for announcement this week, but the details so far haven't been worked out. When the list does come out, it will probably include such things as tomatoes, peas, snap beans, spinach, and beets. It looks as if there might be salmon this year after all. You know, when they built the Bonneville Dam on the Columbia River, a lot of critics insisted that it would raise Cain with the domestic habits of salmon, who used to leap their way over the rapids in order to get to their spawning grounds far inland. The engineers installed an elaborate system of fish ladders in the dam, but critics, who claimed to have an intimate knowledge of fish, claimed that salmon just wouldn't take to such modern conveniences. And because salmon are believed to live at sea 4 years before returning home to spawn, they predicted that last year's run would be the last. Fortunately, they were wrong. Today, the Oregon Fish Commission announced that the spring run of salmon was well above the average. In fact, they seem to like the Bonneville elevators. It saves the poor fish a lot of wear and tear. Have you ever wondered what kind of jobs WACs are doing overseas? Well, Captain Evelyn B. Nicholson, the executive officer of WACs stationed in North Africa, gave out with the information the other day when she returned to this country. She said that when the WACs landed in January, there were five times as many vacancies waiting for them than they could fill. There just weren't enough girls. A lot of them were assigned to communications as teletypists and telephone operators, and to cipher and message centers of the Signal Corps. Some became secretaries and drivers for staff officers, and others drove and serviced everything from jeeps to trucks. They took over the casualty mail, and they've handled that job with a staff one-third as big as the staff of enlisted men they succeeded. And so far, incidentally, they haven't misrouted a single piece of mail, according to Captain Nicholson. Quite a few of the WAC secretaries and stenographers worked on the plans for the Sicilian invasion, extremely secret plans, and they proved to be so tight-lipped that the generals with whom they worked have asked for their services again. And as for ours, at first they worked a seven-day week just as a matter of course, and most of them put in from 12 to 15 hours a day. That's the way it is up near the front for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Eileen Farrell sings one of your Jerome Kern favorites, The Night Was Made for Love. School lunch programs need volunteers to prepare food and serve it to youngsters. Now more than ever, it's necessary to keep such programs going. Children have less chance of getting good meals at home since so many mothers have gone to work. Mothers in war jobs worry about their children if they feel the youngsters may not get a good noon meal. Absenteeism and slowing of production results. The final success of this new community project depends on your local service organizations, on community public spirit, on you. If you have any spare time, put it to patriotic use by helping in the school lunch program. Monday at this same time, the Owens, Illinois Glass Company will present another program with your home front scout, Don Pryor, Eileen Farrell, Bill Regan, and David Brookman and his orchestra. Hugh Conover speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.